You touched on a lot of various elements that are under consideration today. And I think for this group, if I could, you know, I want to ask you a question in a second, Catherine, before I get to that. You know, as y'all think about this and understand the implications to you and your clients, it's exactly what she just shared, which is this is now pivoted from a nice to have to an essential, right? Now, there are a lot of companies that are a little slow in realizing the essential nature of what we're talking about. And reality is it's going to come in through a few ways. One, you're going to see it from your customers. Your customers are going to make demands upon you. If they're retail side of equation, you know, your individual consumers are going to speak up and they're going to, you know, take a certain perspective towards your clients or your company based on how you operate in this space. If you have broader institutional investors, they as well are going to start having expectations. They already do, right? All your major investors today, as was indicated, have their net zero funds. They have expectations for you in regards to how you or your clients run your operations. And now there are this whole slew of rating and ranking agencies that go and take all the publicly available information that's out there on you or your clients' operations and then score you. And then based on those scores, you may or may not qualify for certain funding, right, or certain investors. And so that's where it's going to start. Whether or not you own it today, your investors are going to start measuring you on it and your clients are going to measure you on it. And realistically, your future employees are going to hold you accountable for what you are or not doing in this space. And for old hats like me, it's hard to understand that, you know, I'm going to make a decision about a job opportunity that otherwise has great benefits. It's a career that I'm interested in. The compensation package is great, but oh my goodness, you don't care, have anything in the ESG space, and you don't have anything to reduce your carbon footprint, no strategy around it, no broader social human rights initiative. Well, then I'm going to turn your offer down and go somewhere else. You know, I'm not sure when I came out of uni that would have ever come up, but I can tell you now, because I still do recruiting for my company, that is absolutely in scope, right? So if we have to understand the environment has changed and there are different expectations now. And so that's sort of the landscape that we find ourselves in. As Catherine has indicated, each company is going to be different. An energy company may have opportunities in this transition besides just viewing it as additional obligations or requirements. But some of your other companies may feel that this is just a loss leader. It's going to require them to stand up a whole nother organization. It's going to require them to allocate a fair amount of resources in what is already a very tight commercial environment, and they're going to be very resistant and hesitant to go down this path. But regardless of where you sit, then to think about it now is essential, because you can't flip a switch and do this overnight. And that's what we'll get into in a second, Catherine. I think she's been doing this for 20 plus years. This, you know, even I'm familiar with Walmart and what they had structured and set up over there. It's a phenomenal structure, but it took years, right? It didn't take quarters. It didn't take, a winner. It took several years to get it, and I would imagine Duke Energy is in the same place. I can certainly say Baker Hughes has been at it for 7-8 plus years at this point, and we barely have a solid foundation, right? So that's the key, is that you're going to be in an environment where the expectations are going to appear within a few quarters that you're doing stuff, and then you're going to be forced to try to find a solution that would traditionally take years to build out, and you're going to have to cobble something together in a compressed time period, and will probably deliver less than what's ideal. And so that's why it's advantageous if you think about it now. And so with that, Catherine, again, the longevity, the amount of time it takes, you know, how did you figure out what to prioritize where in your current role? We'll limit it to that, because it does. I mean, as we've indicated, it can be environmental and reducing your carbon footprint. It can be how you manage your supply chain for human rights. Right? Do you have international suppliers that are, you know, sourcing material that may involve slave labor or child labor from a full range of stuff? So how do you, within your organization, how do you prioritize what's most critical to your operations?
Yeah, this is like the perennial question that every company is trying to navigate, which is where do you, in a world where I think so many Company leaders are trying to navigate ESG. They're getting so much information externally about where they need to be focused. It can be almost overwhelming about where do you even get started. The question that I'm going to go back to my WWF Panda days, but the question we would always ask companies, because they would approach us and say, where do I get started? Is it this? Is it that? Is it the other thing? Is it all things all at once? We would always ask two questions, and I, throughout my career, have always come back to these two questions to help guide the strategy and the focus. And that is, what matters to the company and what does the company matter to? So when I think about what matters to the company, and I'll go back to Coca-Cola and then I'll talk about Duke. What matters to Coca-Cola is access to water. If they don't have access to water, they have a really hard time manufacturing a beverage. And so they need to, as a company, really, really have a fine-tuned understanding of the risk and the opportunity that they have with respect to access to water. However, what do they matter to? This is an opportunity to competitively distinguish themselves, to shine a light on the good work they're doing, to establish a leadership position. Coca-Cola is, I'm dating myself because it's been a number of years, but at the time they were one of the top five buyers of global commodities like sugarcane, coffee, tea, cocoa, orange juice. And so by sheer size and scale, they had a unique opportunity to influence how those commodities were grown, were sourced, et cetera. And so here there was an opportunity for what they matter to influence a positive impact from a sustainability perspective.